AM 910 WJCW Tri-Cities Talk Radio. It's now time for Dr. Dean Baird from Mountain Empire Animal Hospital and his pet Puri.
And here's the good doctor himself, Dr. Dean Baird. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing, Carl?
Doing pretty well, thanks. Glad to get things rolling along here and moving as we make our way out on this Monday morning.
I need to ask you about something.
Sure.
Y'all are always... excuse me.
Yeah.
In here talking about birthdays for people during the week. What about all those people who have birthdays on the weekend? They just kind of get left out, don't they?
They got to wait for next year, maybe even the year after that, until their turn comes up during a weekday.
Well, y'all are hardcore about that.
Well, we got to. I mean, you figure there's, what, close to 8 billion people in the world now, and how many more that have passed on, you know, so... We have to, you know, narrow the highway a little.
I don't think you're going to get them all covered. Were there any important birthdays yesterday?
Yeah, mine.
Okay.
Thank you
that's,
for that
That's
setup.
What I was fishing for.
Thank you for that setup. I will send you a check in the mail.
I slipped him a note.
Oh, very good. Thank you, Rebecca. Oh, my goodness. Let's turn and talk about the animals that we gathered to talk about at this time, and that would be our pets. And Dr. Dean, what's our topic today?
Well, I just finished a trip to Wyoming, as you're aware of, and my wife and I did a lot of hiking in the mountains in Grand Teton National Park.
Beautiful section of our country.
Yeah, it is. And also in Yellowstone. So we were at high elevation a lot, 8,000 to 11,000 feet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I know that there are physiological things that happen differently at high elevation because there's not as much oxygen in the air.
Yeah.
I mean, altitude sickness is a real problem. If you get really high, some people can die from it.
Mm-hmm.
Probably wouldn't happen at the altitudes that we were at, although some people will get sick. So I've been doing a little bit of reading and studying about changes that occur to red blood cells, because if you stay at high altitude for a long period of time, you actually will, your body will make more red blood cells and sometimes larger red blood cells because there's not as much oxygen, so you need more cells to be able to move as much oxygen in the body, which I think is pretty fascinating adaptation that the body has.
Mm.
And I thought, well, how can I talk about that on the radio? Not really can't, because I'm sure the same effect happens with animals that are not acclimatized to high elevation, but they don't go up there very much. Well, the opposite of having more red blood cells is having too few red blood cells, which is called anemia.
Right.
So I thought I'd talk about anemia because I don't know when we've actually talked about. We've probably tangentially talked about it various diseases, but as a condition, I don't know that we have.
Okay, let's jump right in then.
So anemia is defined as either a decrease in number of red blood cells or a decrease in hemoglobin. It's not a disease. It's a condition. As an example, vomiting is not a disease.
Okay.
Vomiting is a physiological abnormality that's caused by some disease, right? In people, you would think food poisoning or a stomach virus or peritonitis from a ruptured appendix or something like that. Or in chronic disease like cancer or cancer drugs or kidney failure or that type of thing. But it's not a disease, it's a condition.
Right.
And the same is true as of anemia. And we really have to work pretty hard to try to help clients understand that, because people have a tendency to think that some medical changes are diseases when they're really only an indication of a disease. So there are, if you, one of us, is anemic, or if we are anemic, or if a pet's anemic, it's because there is some disease causing it to be anemic.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's not an externally brought in thing, then.
Yeah, it happens for a reason, and the key is, what is the reason?
It's a response.
Well, it's a change. You know, the body doesn't have as many red blood cells as it should have. So, obviously, there are three ways that you can basically be anemic. One of them is, the most obvious one is blood loss. You know, if you're in an automobile accident or you get shot by a gun or something and you start bleeding, you're going to get anemic because you lose too much blood.
Right.
So, trauma is a obvious cause of anemia.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's pretty simple. It's not hard to figure that one out.
Right.
There is a process in the body of people and of animals where red blood cells can be destroyed abnormally by the body. And that's called hemolysis, from the word hemo meaning blood,
right,
and lysis, which means death.
Okay.
So hemolytic anemia, or things that can cause hemolytic anemia, happen because the body destroys its own red blood cells, which is obviously not normal.
Yeah.
In people or in animals, but it does occur. And we definitely see hemolytic anemia in animals, particularly in dogs. The third group is that the body is not making enough red blood cells. So let's talk about that just for a minute. You know, I said that there's two basic definitions of anemia. Either you don't have enough red blood cells or you don't have enough hemoglobin. Hemoglobin is a chemical that binds oxygen in the red blood cells to transport oxygen to the tissue.
Okay.
Because the biggest function of red blood cells is to transport oxygen.
All right.
And the interface between the capillaries that exist in the lung and the alveoli, which are the really small air sacs in the lung where air comes in from the trachea and then through the bronchioles down into the lung, at that interface on the molecular level, oxygen is transferred from the air that's breathed in to the blood that's in the capillary beds, and that's how oxygen that you breathe gets into your blood.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it goes through the capillary bed at the alveolar level and is saturated into the red blood cells so oxygen can be used by the body, and it's in the form of hemoglobin, and that's the chemical that's in the red blood cell that transports oxygen throughout the body.
And that happens every time we take a breath.
Happens every time.
Yep.
It is absolutely stunning to me, although not surprising because I understand how God made all this stuff, that this stuff happens the way it happens.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Which, well, I was reminded of when I tried to do a little research about this high-altitude red blood cell thing. So the reason I mentioned that was to explain that hemoglobin is useful for a time, but then hemoglobin is used up and it's not long term, and after the hemoglobin is used for that purpose, it's actually gotten rid of in the body as bilirubin through the liver, which is how bile gets its color of being kind of yellowish, brownish, whatever color you want to
count.
So that's right. The normal process is that the body uses hemoglobin to carry oxygen to the tissues, and then the hemoglobin is used up and it's gotten rid of, and the cycle just keeps going.
Where does it slough off to, or is it burnt up in the process?
Well, it's used and it's not useful anymore, so it's just gotten rid of by going literally, like I said, through the bile duct into the liver, or through the liver into the bile duct and then out through the intestine.
Okay.
So in a normal circumstance, the body is always making more hemoglobin, and you just keep the cycle going.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in those cases that I mentioned where you have hemolysis, where the body destroys its red blood cells, the hemoglobin level will go way up, or I guess I should say the bilirubin level will go way up. Bilirubin is the byproduct of hemoglobin.
Right.
And you get too much bilirubin, and you know there's got to be a reason you've got too much bilirubin. Either you've got liver disease because the liver's supposed to get rid of it, or you've got a bile duct obstruction, meaning it can't get out of the gallbladder and go through the bile duct like it's supposed to. Or there's hemolysis, which means the body's destroying the red blood cells so fast and the amount of hemoglobin is going up so fast that the body just can't take care of it.
Mm.
So that can give us a clue that that's going on.
Right.
But remember I said the third group of anemia causes is that the body doesn't make enough red blood cells.
Mm-hmm. Is that the spleen?
Well, the spleen can make red blood cells, but most of the red blood cells are made in the bone marrow.
Okay.
Spleen is a secondary organ to make, as we say, to do hematopoiesis, which is a fancy word for producing red blood cells.
Okay.
So you're right, the spleen can make them, but it's a secondary organ, and it kind of does it as an emergency or as a supplemental act to what happens in the bone marrow. Most of the time, if there's a problem with the body not making enough red blood cells, it's because it's what we call a non-regenerative anemia, and there's a disease process going on in the body that's suppressing the body from making red blood cells, which is really not uncommon.
Is this why we sometimes hear about bone marrow transplants?
Maybe. I think the main reason you hear about bone marrow transplants is because of patients that have leukemia.
Okay.
Which is a neoplastic process in the bone marrow, and they do a bone marrow transplant to try to get normal bone marrow where you've got neoplastic bone marrow to stop the leukemia process. Now, some of those patients, I'm not really up to date on all the details of human leukemia, may be anemic.
Right.
And in the process of getting a bone marrow transplant, it may help replenish or improve the amount of red blood cells that are there.
Okay, sidebar comment, and then...
But that's important because that definitely does happen. We don't do it in animals, but it definitely happens in people.
Mm-hmm.
You can have decreased anemia from iron deficiency because iron is one of the essential components of hemoglobin, and that happens in people too. And you know, good sources of iron are red meat and some beans, I think. So, but diet can make a difference. Or some people take iron supplementation, which we sometimes use in pets as well. But we kind of do that looking over our shoulder because we still don't always necessarily know why they're deficient or whether the deficiency is really going to fix the problem.
Mm-hmm.
I think the main group of problems that we see that cause iron, not iron deficiency, but non-regenerative anemia because the body's not making enough red blood cells or viral diseases like leukemia virus or FIV or kidney disease is a problem because the kidneys produce a hormone called erythropoietin. This is true in people too. And erythropoietin is important for red blood cell production. So patients that have chronic kidney disease can become anemic because they're not making enough red blood cells because the hormone's not made.
Interesting, yeah.
So you see, when you talk about anemia as being a condition, if you outline this like we were taught to do when we were in composition, you're going to have a list under the three categories of trauma. You think trauma would be one thing, but there are a lot of things that can cause trauma. Hemolytic disease and lack of production of red blood cells. There are a lot of things that fit underneath all that can cause anemia.
Roughly speaking, is it the same with cats as with dogs?
Same group of things. Now, some of the diseases are different. Some of the things that are the same under that trauma list, or let's just say blood loss.
Okay.
Trauma is one of the blood loss. Intestinal parasites can cause blood loss, particularly hookworms.
Mm-hmm.
And that happens in both dogs and cats.
Okay.
It can actually happen in people, too. It's a zoonotic disease. It's just that in people, hookworms usually cause other conditions separate from intestinal blood loss. So there are things other than trauma that can cause bleeding, right? Another blood loss cause that can also happen in people is gastrointestinal ulceration. People are familiar with ulcers.
Right.
Well, like those can occur in the stomach and in the duodenum, and if they're bad enough, can cause a lot of blood loss, bleeding out of the mucosa. And if they're really bad, can actually perforate through the wall of the bowel and cause peritonitis.
Oh, my gosh.
Ooh. So you see, there are a lot of things that can cause anemia.
Yeah.
There's
yeah.
no way we could talk about all the things that could cause anemia.
Do you want to extend this general topic of anemia to next week as well?
I guess we could.
We could. I'm just asking if there's enough, do you think?
It would be one of those situations where we need to talk about the specific diseases that could do it. And there is one of them I would like to talk about, which is hemolytic anemia. So I don't. Let's say yes, and we'll talk about hemolytic anemia.
We can at least lead off
see that so much.
Yeah. Okay?
If I can remember to do it.
Okay.
If I can turn my
remember
notes
pad there,
on.
Rebecca.
It's very interesting. I feel like I have been through this morning a semester in medical school, maybe.
I know, but if you will, dumb down for you and me, and
yes.
you know, not that we're dumb, but Dr. Dean did a great job of bringing it home in understandable terms, too.
Very interesting, yes.
And that's what we get every Monday with Dr. Dean, too, is he helps us pet owners make sure that the little guys and gals are happy and healthy, as we like to say.
Does that mean we're to the buy one, get one free stage? Is that what you're saying?
That's up to you, Dr. Dean. We'll talk about that at another time. Dr. Dean Baird with Mountain Empire Animal Hospital, 4340 North Rhone Street in Boone's Creek. They're open 6 days a week, Monday through Friday. You want to get in touch with Dr. Dean or his staff or to make an appointment, what's the number?
282-3771.
Very good, Dr. Dean. We will talk to you again next week.